For the third time.
Third titties a charm.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. Welcome to another episode of Black Girl Charms. I am your migraines up co-host who is dying for you, Brelvy, to sponsor this podcast through me. And I'm joined by my co-host.
The ever increasingly getting drunker. I know.
I'm going to try to speed through this because when we first started recording, that glass had a lot more liquor in it. And through so many technical difficulties, you are more than a third of the way. Anyway,
it's been one of them days.
What are you watching? What are you enjoying? What's on your report?
Creature report. We gotta see if we can get was it Nickelodeon? Let us have that whole thing. I am reading The Very Secret Society of Irregular Witches. Mm-hmm. I am still playing Death Cab for Cutie. I actually looked up to see if they had an album. There is not an album, but I am here patiently waiting for it. What else? I am still on a sushi kick. Oh my God. I was craving sushi today. And I thought I had enough time to go get sushi on my lunch break, but my half an hour meeting turned into an hour and a half. Right. I'm not really watching anything on TV, but I think in the second try, I said I wanted to start watching Found after those TikTok clips, because I know you said it was heavy, but them clips did something to me.
Yeah.
Tell me you love me. I was like, oh my God, yes, I do.
It's like Criminal Minds, but make it kinky.
And I'm okay with that. With all of the dark romances that I have read, I am okay with that.
I think, as somebody who has done the original Criminal Minds from beginning to end, there have been some kinky episodes, so I could get down with it. But like I said in the recording part two, I got to do it in 3-episode increments because it's like Criminal Minds is super heavy and it's. Look, long story short, I'm watching The First Wives Club because it's super nice, it's light, it's airy. Jill Scott's voice can literally put me to sleep in the best possible way ever. Her voice is just so, it's so soft and gentle.
I do love her.
And she's just she's gorgeous. Oh, God.
Now you're going to make me want to watch Why Did I Get Married? Because I love her and Why Did I Get Married? That is the only Tyler Perry movie that I will consistently watch. That he must have had a writer's room for Why Did I Get Married? Because I feel like it stands above the rest of them.
Oh,
no, I'm not even going to go look that up. Because I'm going to be disappointed.
Jill Scott was in her bag. Enjoy your 20s. Oh! Her voice is so... Her voice is so sickly sweet. Because it's very kill them with kindness. And you really want to be mad. Jill Scott can curse you out.
Yeah.
And it will just... Yeah. You would just sit there and be like, I love you. Can I just hold you? I don't want to do nothing. I just want to lay here and just be held by you or hold you. Either way.
Oh my goodness. I think that's all I've been doing. I am going to. I did start playing a game, but I stopped. I feel like we talked about this. And I haven't picked up anything. Nothing. And I need to. Even if it's like an iPad game, I need something to decompress because I'm not going to have to stab a bitch.
Is Wayne Brady gonna have to stab a bitch? Speaking of stabbing, I don't know how this is a segue, but I've been watching the Mission Impossible series. I watched 1, 2, and 3 last night. I think I just wanted to watch it to see if there was a story to be told or there's a story being told in each of these movies, but nah. It just literally Tom Cruise being like, let's see what we can get away with. Let's see what we can do.
That's literally what's the best stunt that I can do.
It's James Bond meets Fast and the Furious minus the cars.
So it's about family. We just discussed this. It's about family.
No, it is literally about Tom Cruise's mission to beat Simone Biles at gymnastics because this man just, he does his own stunts and like the jumping and the flipping and the just the Tom Cruise of it all. You have to admire it at a certain point.
Justice for Katie Holmes.
Of course, yes. But also the I was like, Katie was with Jamie, and then you know Jamie out here getting
I told you it's gonna be listening to Pig Latin chants and 20th century monks, cause what the fuck, bro? Oh, every time I open up Twitter, somebody else is getting accused.
I don't know. I guess it's
a all started with the 1975. Because when I tell you that album is a banger, and then all that shit came out, and I was like, God damn it. And the rest of my year, I feel like, come on, Jamie. He gonna blame it on the goose.
Maybe the people are revolting.
They did say that the
I'm so sorry. I hate myself for that joke.
I was trying to keep going because you kept going on the blame it on the goose. That's how I was like, well, if she can keep it, I can keep it. But then you did the pause with the stare. And I was like, God damn it.
7 minutes in, I'm already crying. Awesome.
You know who also cried 7 minutes into the episode? Piper.
You know what? Let's get into this. Oh, this is going to be fun because my eyes are already burning from the tears that you make me cry.
Ooh.
I feel like every black girl has that version of the tizzy that everything is just going to be a song.
All right. One of the days we're gonna have like Black Girl Charm, the musical.
Yo, the fact that Charm never had a musical episode is so right. Weird. Because I feel like everybody had a musical episode. Buffy had a musical episode.
Angel had a musical episode.
Yeah.
Did Angel have a musical episode? They did, right?
No, but they had a puppet episode.
That's what I was thinking of, that weird puppet episode. We're not going to talk about
Smile
that.
Smile Time is the scariest episode of television.
It's uncomfortable. It makes me uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable. It makes me very uncomfortable as a person who was hospitalized in the fifth grade and was just watching Sesame Street in their hospital bed. Like, this is not okay.
I still want to see that puppet musical. It's not on Broadway anymore, right? Avenue Q, whatever it's called.
No, I'm not sure. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe I'll YouTube it. Anyway, continue.
We are on season 3, episode 12, Wrestling with Demons. The original air date is February 1st, 2001. The writer this week is Cheryl J. Anderson. So welcome back, a woman. Well, welcome back, Cheryl, because we've had women already. Well, last week was boys, so there's that. The director this week was Joel J. Feinenbaum. His full credits are in season 2, episode 19, Ex Libris. Our guest star this week is Ron Perlman.
Fuck that man.
No. It is never fuck Ron Perlman in this
household. It is fuck Ron Perlman. Now, you know how much... No, just in general, you know how much I used to love Ron Perlman. Where most people don't find him attractive, especially in his Sons of Anarchy days, I would have taken that man down. But what he did to his wife, his black wife, who held him down when he was broke, fuck Ron Perlman.
I feel like you need to give me backstory.
So remember Ron Perlman was in that Beauty and the Beast show back in like the 80s, and it only lasted like a season?
Yes.
So he was married to a Black woman who has a very nice and expensive jewelry business. And so she held him down when he wasn't getting no jobs. Because remember, he was doing like these side bits, like Charmed and stuff like that. They were married for 35 years. And I was just going to let you go if you were in it. But that's literally what happened. So after Sons of Anarchy, you know, again, he wasn't really getting stuff. And he did some show or some movie. I don't know. I've never watched it. And he fell in love with his co-star and divorced his wife. I think she took him for half. A good chunk. And you know what? More power to her. So it's fuck Ron Perlman in this house. And I looked at this episode like, I used to love you. I used to stand 10 toes down on when Ron Perlman, like, oh my God, Ron Perlman is ugly. I'm like, nah, you don't understand. Like, that man is just, there's just something about him. He was crazy on Sons of Anarchy. He's always plays in some weird, crazy dude. I loved him. And then for him to do that to us,
well,
to her,
Mr. Perlman has had 271 credits, including two episodes of Adventure Time, Fiona
being
and
a cheater
from earlier this year. But he is probably best known from 2004's Hellboy.
Marco, he's best known for Sons of Anarchy. Damn it, I am also kind of tipsy. Yeah, at this point,
I'm trying my best to just power through. Marco Sanchez as Tom Peters, 81 credits. The 2022 short, The Call of the Clown Horn.
What was, the fuck?
Was his last project.
Okay. That makes sense.
Sheila Parista as Fran Peters. Rest in peace, ma'am.
I loved her.
She passed away in October of 2011 and has a total of 85 credits. The last one was the Michael Rapaport led.
Ugh. Right? That had to be her last thing.
The War at Home. But to make this, you know, bring us right back up, we've seen her in Half and Half and Ally McBeal. So she was a character actor as well.
Hold on, but can we go back to the plot summary for The Call of the Clown Horn?
Hold on.
They say if you're feeling lost, reach out to those around you. But what if they don't reach back? Shot in and around Fayetteville, Arkansas, and inspired by a true story, this dark comedy explores the boundaries of friendship, love, and clown horns. I'm intrigued.
What the fuck
I need to watch
is
this.
A clown horn?
You know when you go to the I'm so tipsy. You know when you go to the I want to say the zoo, the circus. And they're riding around, they go beep beep, the little horn, beep beep. That's a clown horn.
Based on a true story.
That's what I'm saying. I need to watch this.
Well, we're not watching it now. We are getting into trivia now. So in the episode, Leo says that somebody made a Faustian deal. That, for people who don't know what that means, it is a pact where somebody trades something of supreme moral or spiritual importance, i.e. a soul. Phoebe mentions finding a lost love spell in the Book of Shadows. We'll see that spell be used in the season 4 finale. Which way now? It is revealed that Grams has a dog called Rasputin who was lost for 7 years. And it is rumored that Rasputin was Grams' familiar.
Did you know?
I'm listening.
I have trivia. You just saw Rasputin. And it was actually, it was like Black people who were singing it. It actually was not a Black person who sang it. Yeah. It was written and sung by a white person. Well, the girl sang their part, but it was written and sung by a white person. And he did it a bunch of times where he would hire like unknown people to sing his songs, almost like the Macarena. Uh-huh. But they didn't actually sing it. There you go. Boom. See, I be
Okay.
having weird trivia in my head too. You're not the only one.
All right, you got
Go
it.
ahead.
The
I got
episode
it. Yeah,
features the first trip to the underworld for the entire series. That's a weird way of writing that.
it
Several of Piper's freezes in the episode weren't done with special effects, but relying on the actors to simply stand still. There are multiple
Whoa.
instances where they move after being frozen. So,
Now I
yeah.
gotta go back and look. Oh my goodness.
This
I
episode
wasn't paying attention.
features popular WCW wrestlers Scott Steiner and Booker T and Buff Bagwell. I don't know. It felt Bagwell. Their name was Buff Bagwell.
Booker T was actually on WWE at one point.
I mean, fuck Vince McMahon.
I know, but I like Booker T. He
There's
always
all.
reminded me of like if Buster Rhymes
Anyway,
was a wrestler.
you're drunk. You're fucking drunk. Anyway, adult entertainer actor Carlos Milano is an extra in this episode. He's watching Phoebe and Prue fight, and he is dressed in black. So, you know, you little horn dogs out there, have fun with that.
Ew. What's the
Last.
story behind that though? Like, how did he get on?
He had to know somebody.
Right.
I
He
don't
was
know.
in General Hospital.
Get out my face.
I
You are such a clown. Why are you this way?
It's the alcohol.
You're right. You're right. Because I'm in our conversations and I can't find it for the life of me.
What are
And
you looking for?
a DVD synopsis. It's
Hold
not
on,
my
because
phone.
Mason stole my DVD, so let me see if he put it
I don't know if we're gonna keep this in the episode or not, but I love the hijinks that ensue.
the DVD synopsis. Read by Jonelle this episode. When Phoebe confesses that she let Cole escape, a betrayed Prue and Piper must put their feelings aside to stop Prue's old boyfriend from becoming a demon. I feel like that was mad dramatic. I mean,
You
also, like, I read it dramatically, but it was mad dramatic.
honestly, I appreciate you doing that because I have a whole lot of talking to do right now. Because I am taking one for the team. When Prue discovers one of her ex-boyfriends is being led down the path to becoming a demon, she, Piper, and Phoebe risk their lives in an underworld wrestling ring to save his soul. IMDb. Again, not dropping any. Okay, they flipped because last week they gave away the whole episode. And this week they did it. So whoever wrote it this week, kudos to you. All right. I'm just going to speed through this episode ever so
Okay.
quickly. This may be the fastest episode of Black Girl Charm ever. I'm lying because we're 20 minutes in and then we're going to go on a rant because somebody's fucking drunk. Anyway, the episode synopsis or episode breakdown is. When Phoebe has a premonition about a demon killing a man, Daryl and the Halliwells try to stop him. Prue recognizes the demon as her former high school sweetheart, Tom Peters, a college football star who injured his knee and lost it all, until a demon agent, Mr. Kellerman, recruits him for a demon academy in exchange for paying off his debts. Tom is in the last step to becoming a demon, and to save his soul, what is wrong with me? Fucking
You're not
Kelly
drunk.
Rowland. Just got Kiki Palmer in my head right now, and stole Kiki Palmer, you know. Prue proposes a wrestling match controlled by the source. If they win, the Charmed Ones and Tom go free. If they lose, all four souls will belong to the source. Meanwhile, Phoebe tells Piper and Prue that she didn't vanquish Balthazar. And, oh, I guess Leo and Piper are officially engaged again. And that's the episode. Now, let's get into it. Let's pick this shit apart.
Okay. I'm supposed to be the drunk one. What are you doing?
That's from Easy A and Penn Badgley being a woodchuck.
I thought you were trying to be Nicki Minaj. I thought you were about to bust out the rap. I was like, what?
Nicki Minaj rap starts with,
I don't know. She makes all the weird noises. So I was ready for it. Roman!
Roman doesn't even know what the noise is today. Oh, God. Can I just say, I am over Roman Empire TikTok. Off topic, on topic. I'm over it. I don't care what was your Roman Empire. I never will care what your Roman Empire is. Because more times than not, your Roman Empire is the dumbest shit I have ever seen. Like, my Roman Empire is Blair Waldorf not eating her pie. Shut the fuck up. Nobody cares. Anyway.
I'm scared.
I just ran through the episode for you. What do you want to start? Where do you want to go? Who are we mad at? Do you want to go on a, I'm so over the Piper and Leo of it all, just to get it out the way? Do you want to dive into the Phoebe of it all? Do you want to deal?
Let's break it down by the main characters this episode. But I want to start with my boo, with the detective.
With
what kind of racist shit? What kind of racist shit was Chang, yo?
So I watched this episode 4 times in preparation for this recording, because I don't know if we're recording on a Friday night or a Sunday night or a Monday. I just need to make sure that the episode is fresh in my head before we record. So that led to me watching this episode.
Seeing the racism 4 times? Yes. Like, why did Chang have to be a delivery driver?
Not even just that. Like, why is Chang so annoying? Like, I watch enough Investigation Discovery to know, like, these kind of things happen. Like, the cops, hey, your wife is trying to kill you. So, this is what we're going to do. That has happened.
Kill her first!
We're gonna fake your death, and then, like, we're gonna set your wife up on a sting operation to get her. Cool.
And that was a good one. That was a good one.
That's happened a lot. I've seen like at least 5 episodes where that happens.
I would say that the one where the cop, when he was in the car and he was like, "Oh, I killed him," and she was like, "Oh my god, okay, let's move on."
Shorty with the black shirt and the ponytail. Yup.
Yeah, see, you know, I just felt like, first of all, Daryl also was looking mighty fine this episode. I was like, damn, daddy, excuse me, daddy.
So done with you. Continue.
I love the way he like blended in with the girls and he was ready to, you know, help the girls out at a moment's notice. Poor Sheila. He'd be with the girls more than he'd be at home with Sheila and the kids.
No, this actually... I wish they did this more or played into this more, but that whole setup was really good, because what we don't see, mm-hmm. what we don't see on screen is Phoebe has had a premonition, this man is going to die, we need to stop him. And also, the reason why we want to like stop this is for the past 4 days in a row, if you popped up in a metro section, you died. Honestly, I want to sue the newspaper, because why is nobody putting these 2 things together? If I put John Doe in the metro section on Monday and Monday night he died, and like Bob Smith gets
Bob Smith.
I can't come up with names. is in the Metro section on Tuesday, and he dies Tuesday night. A Kowinky thing is. Anyway,
it was a lot. It was a lot. So, I mean, that was the only thing with Daryl. I just really liked him being back in the episodes. And
yeah, we haven't seen Daryl for a strong
person of color.
Chang does not believe that he is a target.
Nope.
I don't have any money. I do have a bitchin' leather jacket, though.
So he did have a nice jacket. I was like, oh, okay.
That's why they
went. I thought he was going to be in, like, a gang or something.
You racist. And then he got on a... Mark is gone. Mark is no longer with us, okay?
I mean, I just felt like it's... But you know, like in Greece, how they have, you know, they have the leather jackets in Greece. That's what I was thinking of. Right, like I wasn't.
So,
but then he like was doing a delivery driver, and I was like, I did like the fact though that they called out the innocents are always in back alleys. I was like, thank you.
Every time I watched that episode, I thought of you because in last week's episode. You're just like, you were so mad about people being in alleys and in dark corners. And finally, they listen to you. They even though this was...
I mean, we have both lived in New York. How often do you find yourself in a dark alley? Like, why are there so many alleys in San Francisco?
Pause. This is also why I have a problem with Scream 7. Okay? The cold open for Scream 7 is so... redonkulous because there is no way in hell I am leaving the security of a restaurant to follow some random ass voice down an alley so I can get stabbed. Why would I leave the restaurant? Because my date is like, oh hey, I'm outside. Do you see me? No, I don't see you. And then you're going to continue walking? Bro, you're going to come to me. If you're going to stab me in these New York streets, you are stabbing me in this restaurant. Not in the
alley. Oh, my. Oh, my.
Anyway, back to Charms.
That was a lot.
Yeah.
So, with him being in the alley, though, it's the first time that we see her former boyfriend, Prue's former boyfriend, because he tries to hit him with a fireball.
It fails. Prue runs after him, and instead of, you know, swatting him away, she freezes. Daryl is just like, why would you freeze? I know that demon. And now we have the plot of the episode. Right. We go back in the house. Piper is very... I don't know why Piper is so anxious and babbly. So painting the picture, Piper is overwatering plants and freaking out about another ex-boyfriend, ex-lover, whatever, being some sort of demon. And to an extent, yeah, it's weird that, you know, we keep dating men that turn out to be demons, but is that just dating in general? Find out on another Dr. Laura.
So does her watering the plants happen after Leo orbs in and was like, yo, by the way, I lost your mom's ring, bro?
Before. So what actually happens is Piper overwaters plants when she's nervous and she babbles when she's nervous.
Right. But it doesn't say why she was nervous.
They keep saying it's the trauma or the PTSD of them always dating a demon. First, it was her and Jeremy. Then it was Balthazar and Phoebe. And lo and behold, and very well may have been Tom and Prue.
I mean, because he got that demon dick.
But, oh, you're going to be doing the drunk laugh all episode. I can hear it already.
I'm behaving.
Anyway. So while Piper is babbling, Prue walks in and calls her out on her babbling, which this is actually the funniest thing that Piper said. She says it so many times throughout the series, but she's always like, if I could freeze you guys, I would. And same.
But why can she freeze Leo and not her sisters?
Because you, I don't know, you're not supposed to use your powers on each other. Oh, shouldn't work on each other. Leo is very bad at his job, so a white lighter committee is just like, let him be frozen. I don't know. Prue is calling for Leo. She has called for Leo multiple times, and Leo was refusing to answer. And when he finally shows up, instead of, you know, responding to his charge, he's like, hey, I've been avoiding you because I lost your mom's engagement ring because I don't have an engagement ring to give you, and you have to give me your mom's engagement ring. Is your phone vibrating, Kid Fury?
It wasn't me. Like, I wasn't texting nobody. I had texted her like 4 hours ago.
Oh, I didn't think that. And she was just responding. You know, our phone should be on do not disturb. Since your children are at home and your husband is at home, so everything you're worried about is under your roof. But, you know.
I'm already on a rough day and you're screaming at me and I just can't handle it right now. Your phone did not disturb, ma'am.
I just love that every podcast has like a Kid Fury and everybody has a Crystal. But anyway, Leo is admitting that he lost Piper's engagement ring throughout, you know, all the orbiting. Daryl tries to save him, like, hey, I can get you, I have a ring guy, you need it. Piper is like, no, I gave him mom's engagement ring to give back to me at the perfect time. Yes.
That's when I was over it, because Daryl was like, oh, I can, you know, I can hook you up with my jeweler, with Jacob the jeweler. And that man ain't got no money.
And this is why I understand the sentimentality of proposing with her mom's, with Patty's ring. I get it. I understand it.
Why would you want a ring from a relationship that did not last?
A lot of people do that. Like, that's not uncommon that, like...
Is it? I thought you wanted the ring from, like, a relationship that lasted, but they were both dead. Not a relationship when she's a cheetah.
I mean, understandable, but there's just something, you know, this is mom's engagement ring. It's a little
piece of her. Because she couldn't afford no ring, and she was just trying to take the easy way out.
Anyway, but there is a way to do that. I've seen it on other shows where the guy gets the grandmother's ring or their mom's ring.
Right, he should have went through Prue, not Piper getting the ring and then giving it to him. You could
have very well just gone through Patty.
It's Leo. I didn't expect him to get that far.
It's just... I don't mean to be a dead horse. It's just that you are trying to... You're trying to portray this beautiful, romantic love. And Leo is the laziest piece of shit as a white lighter.
Whoa, now, if you have a problem with Leo and Piper, then you should not be on this podcast.
I just, like... Am I wrong in wanting actual romance from a fictional character who is supposed to be the embodiment of love on the show? I don't know. I'm
taking notes because there's a Q&A for those who listen on Spotify. And if you don't, hit us up at Black Girl Charmed. But the question of the week is, how do you feel about Leo getting the mom's ring from Piper?
Not seem wild to, it just takes away the mystery of being proposed to. It takes away from, like,
I mean, what mystery of getting proposed to? They had to go to the higher ups and beg, exactly, to be even put on probation. I'm over it. Let's just get married.
Exactly. I feel that, like,
They are the epitome of we ain't getting no younger girl.
You might as well.
When we get to the wedding scene, you gotta overlap it with that song.
It doesn't make any sense. Leo was not a romantic person. He doesn't do anything romantically. He has just been on like swingers parties with Grams. I don't know what happened when Petty like was around. And then you just over here be like, that little girl, will she get older?
Oh my God. I'm not drunk enough for this. What kind of R. Kelly shit is this? Let's just move on.
Anyway.
want to talk about the main plot line?
Prue is determined to save Tom from becoming a demon. And everybody's just like, why? Let him be a demon. Why do we care about demons? Like,
not that she had to consistently tell her sisters he hasn't killed anybody yet. He's not technically a demon, for them to be like, oh, okay, I guess. Like, yeah.
It's fine when it's your demon, but when it's my demon, it's a problem.
I feel like the two plot lines definitely entwined. So Phoebe does end up telling her sister Piper, I was going to say the first sister, but Piper, that she did not vanquish Cole. And Piper just looked so disappointed in her.
Honestly, she
has a ring to find. Are you telling me this shit?
I don't want to lose this thought, and this technically should go in the tweaks we would make to the episode, but this is how it should have gone. Leo is avoiding Piper because Phoebe told him some bullshit last week and he don't want to lie to Piper. So he keeps like orbing out because he doesn't want to lie to her and he doesn't want to like make it weird. Piper, on the other hand, is looking for her mom's engagement ring because she wants Leo to propose to her with it. And she's been looking all over the house for it. That would have been the better fucking story versus this non-romantic ass just fucking being like, oh, well, bitch, I've been orbiting in and out doing my motherfucking job. I'm sorry if I can't hold on to a fucking ring.
Anyway. You don't have like a bunk bed in upstairs, like, you know what I mean? Like, the white liners don't have like bunk beds or like little huts or something. I mean, they were like, you know,
Every time I get mad at Leo, I think about Paige in a later season being like, you know, he just up there with the elders drinking a beer to help. Yeah, Piper thinks I'm working, but Paige?
Yeah.
Anyway, so in trying to locate Tom, Phoebe goes to her magical toolkit that she put together to try to find Cole / Balthazar, and she has decided against doing that. So instead of using it for that purpose, she's using it for finding Tom. Piper's like, that's weird. Why would you just have this ready to go? Oh, and she's like, well, I was trying to find Cole. And Piper's like, a dead guy? You wanted to find a dead guy?
You want to bring him back from the dead?
And she's like, he's not dead. I never killed him. And Piper is upset. She has all the feelings of being upset. She just don't care enough because Leo ain't find the ring. And I mean, it's so disappointing to see our girl going out so bad, so tacky.
She looks so pretty in this episode too. She looks gorgeous this episode,
but it just, Piper is a badass bitch, and for her to just be like, Leo, like a fucking puppy, bitch, you are the prize. Anyway,
you know what? As much as they were like, oh, you gotta tell Prue. Honestly, the judgment from Piper, because Piper was just like, so you're a liar. So it's your guilty conscience. That's the reason why you've been acting this way. You know, you got to tell Prue, because I ain't telling Prue shit. You got to tell Prue. And she was like, Prue wouldn't understand. And she was I don't either. But that's and she just kept taking like pot shots throughout the entire episode.
So
that's you. That's you. That's you. Not the whole Leo thing.
I'm judging you.
I want to let you know that I'm judging you. And I'm going to force it to the point that you have to say something, because I'm not saying nothing. And you're not going to have me out here when Prue go on her rampage. Talking about, oh, you knew Piper? Absolutely not.
You're right.
Nope.
You're right. Anyway, they find Tom. Tom, they stop him from killing another innocent, bring him back home. And again, while they're bringing him back home, Piper is trying to like nudge Phoebe into telling the truth. She refuses, and Prue's big, you know, brain, she lets him go to track him to see what she can do that way.
Mm-hmm. While this is happening, the spell is going on. They're starting to find a whole bunch of stuff, and she does find her ring
in
a drawer of pencils.
Yeah.
So she was happy there, which was cute.
He said put it in his pocket and misplaced it with all the orbing in and out for her, only to find it in a drawer full of pencils. That man is a liar, but I'm not gonna get into it.
I mean, but so was the rest of the family, so it's okay.
Yeah.
So we track him down to Kellerman's office.
And pause. We didn't really give any insight into Kellerman. Kellerman, we get insight into Kellerman through Prue beating up with Tom's mom, getting the 411 on him after they broke up. She apologizes for not keeping in touch. She tells Tom's mom tells Prue that he got injured, but Mr. Kellerman took care of all of that, all his bills. He would have let me know if anything was wrong. The name rings a bell for Prue. Not rings a bell, but like puts a thought in her head, like, I need to figure out more about this Kellerman. She goes on her way. That's where we get the information about Demon Academy, because finally Leo does his job and reports back the way, like, in a timely fucking manner. we follow Prue and the gang to Kellerman's office. They do another spell, and then they are taken down to the underworld, where there is a wrestling match happening. Because Kellerman smells humanity still on Tom from his brief interaction with Prue. And in order to save Tom's soul, Prue offers up her and Phoebe's soul. But Piper can't fight because she has frozen Tom to take him out of the equation. And
she's bluffing.
And she has to remain alive and active to keep Tom frozen. And this
is... Sidebar, why did we think that demons were going to play fair?
Because, honestly, pause. I don't know why. Because we're going to rewind the tape really, really quickly. Tom was supposed to get in trouble for not killing Chang. He tells him, I couldn't kill Chang because witches interfered. Very quickly, he was like, damn, they tracking the innocent. Let's get you another one. The underworld knows how good people think. They understand. And they just know how to pivot real quickly. The good guys are far too rigid and have their noses too up in the air to really think like a baddie. And that's always where they go wrong. And it's...
I just feel like Phoebe Man, with all the evil that you got inside of you, you don't be thinking like a demon.
Until
from one, from him bringing in the two big
well,
dudes.
He says, technically, because you guys are witches, we gotta even the playing field.
But they already knew that their witch stuff wasn't gonna really work on them. He had said that earlier, and it didn't really last as man. And then the fact that like Piper ain't like. Excuse me for saying like so much, but Piper didn't have her face like facing towards Kellerman. Why would you have your back towards a demon?
Again, these women don't care anything about safety. They don't understand. They don't know what Mind Joe 6 is. Come on now. Come on.
And the fights, you know, I used to love the fight scene, and it was funny because when I turned it on, I said, I'm going to watch this from Ray's view, and it's going to completely ruin the second half of this episode for me.
I apologize. I didn't mean
and
to.
It completely did. From the bad CGI. And then the fight scene. First of all, they were getting their ass Molly Wop. That motherfucker picked up Prue and dropped her from his shoulder. Just dropped her. And then after Piper got knocked out or had that metal thing put in her back, they were like, we have to defend ourselves and we have to win. And then she like picks up Prue and throws her around and that's how they win.
Well,
they
no.
just
so,
knock the two bad guys out.
What happens is Prue kicks her telepathy, like she uses her powers to like get a power boost, like a strengthening boost, I guess. Which is why they are finally able to win that fight. I'm sorry. That's literally what it is. That's not conjecture. They were fighting like mortals, and then Piper died or is dying, so Prue amped up her.
So why you ain't do that to begin with? Why you ain't do that to begin with? Why do we have this whole thing? Y'all were getting y'all asses whooped. They were beating them like men. Like men. Okay? Like she was China in the ring. What was that?
Wow. That's rude.
I took it back, right?
Yes. So yeah. That's what happened. It's kind of like what happened in Primrose Empath, where we never saw Prue fight like that before, but then her magical powers made her like a little stronger, faster, blah 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 blah. Same thing happens here. What you and I have passed over is this is when Phoebe decides, before the fight actually starts, this is when she decides to tell Prue that Cole is still alive.
She's such a manipulative little bitch. Oh my God. If, just in case we die in that ring, I just don't want to have anything between us. You little manipulative little bitch.
And I love that Prue called her out immediately. It was like, just in case you thought I'm going to die so you can get off the hook, I'm not. I'm going to kick some ass, and I'm going to kick your ass.
Your ass. I was like, goody, it's all in the air. I am off the hook.
Real talk, I never want Piper to amp me up during a fight. I never, ever, ever want Piper to be the one on the sidelines trying to cheer me on during a fight. Because that's why they were losing. Come on, Phoebe. She thinks you're a sucker. A big sucker for love. A sucker, sucker, sucker. Phoebe.
I'm being in the background like, whoop that trick. Get him, whoop that trick. Get it. You're going to be laughing. You're still going to lose. I ain't going to be too much.
Come on, Prue. Get mad. She lied to you for weeks, man. Nah, see? Like, girl.
I was like, what are you doing? Like, I understand that her trying to use their anger against each other, but I was like, not the right time.
No, you just, and she just didn't sell it, because I would, like, that's what you're supposed to do. Like, hey, like, because again, they were getting their ass beat as you.
That's what I'm saying. They were getting their ass whooped. It wasn't working. She's on a pivot.
It was the way Piper was doing it. That's why it wasn't working. You tell, because I'm over here trying to scrap, and Piper's just like, hey, man. She lied to you for weeks, man. Hey, get angry. Nah. Phoebe, she thinks you're a loser and a sucker for love. Bah.
Also, why are we airing out our dirty laundry in front of the demons? Why are we doing that? Why are we doing that?
Wait. Piper, you right. Because, duh. Like, she faked his, you know what? Piper did it on purpose. She did it on purpose. She was like, oh, you gonna keep this man alive? Put a target on our back? Target's back on him. Target's back on him. Because if he gotta watch his back for them demons and now know he's alive before he come after us.
Mm-hmm.
Piper, you know what? You don't know how to fight.
You're giving Piper way too much. And again, going right back to what I said a couple episodes ago, where we have now entered the stage of Piper always getting knocked the fuck out. Yeah. What was that? So they end up winning the fight. They end up knocking them out.
I know you don't like him, but that scene was awesome. That scene where he was just like, called your bluff. Let's go.
He was like, let's go see your mom. I was like, damn.
Oh, like, Rob Perlman saved this episode, and he was only in, like, three scenes. Because the quickness of, like, ah, yuck, they must be tracking the innocent. All right. Kill this motherfucker. Here. Don't let me,
see my face.
I know. But called your bluff is such a good scene.
Ha, ha.
Anyway, they win.
So they do win. They get the two bad guys get sucked up into the source. And they have to drag Piper out. So while all this is happening, Leo was like, Daryl, where the fuck are my girls? I can't sense them nowhere. He ain't do all that. He ain't do all that. He was like, fuck, maybe Natalie was right. All this entire time, though, I was thinking, Natalie had a point.
All right. Pause.
The girl died.
Pause. Two things could be true. I don't understand why people don't get this. Two things could be very true at the same time. Was Natalie annoying? Fuck yes. Yes, the fuck she was. Nobody is denying that. Was she wrong that Leo don't know how to do his job? That Leo be paying attention to everything else? That Leo is a this motherfucker be missing staff meetings. He don't know nothing about nothing.
Natalie let her black charge die. Ate that when Leo was feeling her pain. I was like, I eat these for breakfast. Fuck that shit. Like, nah, I can't get Natalie no pass. She let homegirl die. I was like, Leo, what's the problem?
Again. Would I save Natalie? Fuck no. Was she wrong? A broken clock is right twice a day. That's all I'm going to say.
No, I know Leo was thinking to himself, maybe I should have them on a stricter schedule because the way he popped in, Dad was like, motherfucker, you can't do this here. You know better. Are you trying to get me fucking kicked off the force? Like, what is wrong with you?
So it's annoying because in a later episode, I forget what season, they do say that white lighters can sense the room to make sure that there are no other mortals.
Okay, so they were cleaning it up.
Yeah, that happens later on. But it would have been nice to know now that Leo can scan a room and be like, oh.
He couldn't scan and find them girls, though.
I mean.
So Leo was able to track them down to Kellerman's office. And he was trying to find, like.
Find them.
He was trying to figure it out. And then they came up in the elevator. And I will say that elevator was demon made, because that is not how elevators in the United States work. There would be some regulations for that shit, okay? So anyway, so they come back up. She is dying. He saves her, and I will say it's cute, because she rolls over after she was saved and was like, I found the ring. It's like, girl, you
are so she proposed to him.
There you go, ruining shit again. There you go. You can't let me have nothing.
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 You know what I'm saying? Where was that? So I do like.
Is that from Martin? I think it's from Martin.
I do like the scene where they go back to the house and they were able to get his mom with the help of Daryl, and Tom and Kellerman were there. Did when they, and then, so the spell that Phoebe cast is still going on. So now they got like lost souls in their house and Rasputin the dog and all this other shit. So when they end up killing Kellerman or knocking him out, whatever they do to him, was that scene not ghost-esque?
No, it was before they knocked out Kellerman. So what's happened? Obviously, Phoebe does a lost and found spell, all like the lost souls that have.
Right.
What lost souls were.
I don't know. That didn't make no sense to me. But when they knocked him out and he was on the floor and the lost soul started like going around him.
That was
ghost-esque, right?
But they even showed like the ghost stuff before, because Rasputin is barking at everything.
Rasputin is like, what the fuck is going on? Like, how the fuck did I get here?
This don't make no sense. This is why I ran from home. This is why I ran from y'all hoes. I'm tired of this shit. I'm retired. I live in Boca with a nice family who gives me a nice arthritic bed and gives me belly rubs. The minute y'all hoes see me, y'all worrying like, Rasputin. Y'all were like, you don't want the furniture, Rasputin. Anyway. Because he is tracking a black spirit that comes in through the windows and is just like, oh, I need to get the fuck up out of here. Anyway, the trick to breaking the bond between Tom and becoming a demon is to take out Kellerman. He can't. It's either kill your mom or kill Kellerman. He kills Kellerman. And everybody's okay. Hooray, huzzah. Piper and Leo finally go out to dinner to celebrate their engagement because she proposed to him and now she's going to have to pay for their meal at a fun restaurant. What we didn't say is Phoebe gets her brown hair back with the spell. She also lost her virginity in the kitchen. Which was that was such a weird line. I do like that scene, though. So I know this episode we're just been bouncing all over the place, but when Daryl comes to the door and Phoebe has blonde hair, and by the time she gets to the kitchen, she has brown hair, and she just picks up that metal pan, and she doesn't even like fully look at herself. It's just the quick, oh, I don't even want to deal with this. And she's just like, oh, I lost my brown hair in the kitchen sink, so this is where I get it back. And she has that throwaway line of, like, I hope the same thing doesn't happen with my virginity. And it's like, oh, so you lost your virginity in the kitchen. Gosh.
I'm just trying to eat my salad.
Ha, ha, ha. But I don't know what the point of that line was.
Yeah, it didn't make no sense. So let's get to the ending. So.
You are loud.
Oh, sorry.
Like, I fully jumped back.
So let's get to the ending.
Yeah.
I'm still pissed off.
Yeah, she's pretty much.
And damn right. And Phoebe is so manipulative. Phoebe was just like, oh my God, you were right about Tom. I was wrong about Cole. My bad. Oops. And Prue was like, bitch, I have not slapped you silly yet. You understand we have a target on our back because of you, bitch?
Phoebe apologizes and proves just like, and you think that makes it okay? No, but why can't you just understand? Mama, I love him. Mama, I just want to be with him. He just makes my heart happy and he ain't never going to hurt us again, Mama. Mama, oh my God. Swear. Mama, please.
Oh my God. That's
what she sounds like.
Prue has a good point, because Phoebe's trying to say, like, well, we saved Tom because you wanted us to save Tom, even though he hadn't been in your life for all of these years. Why can't you understand what I feel about Cole? And she never once says anything about her feelings for Cole. She's like, what you don't understand is that you lied to us, and you've been lying to us for weeks, and now we have a target. Like, Phoebe keeps trying to
escape judgment. Because right. first, well, we touch on it really quickly, but then it go into it. Phoebe's at first was like, oh, when it's your demon, we gotta save him. Or when it's my demon, you gotta kill him. And I'm like, bruh.
This ain't the time.
Tom, let's be honest. Tom was a football star. He got to the NFL, blew out his knee, had mad bills, had mad money, and turned to drugs and demons. A tale as old as time, honestly. Right? Then you have Balthazar. Half man, half demon, who's over 100 years old, has been killing for, let's say, the good part, the better part of 80 years.
And I feel though, like...
And he literally went back in time to fuck with your bloodline. He broke the bond with your sisters. He said he admitted to sending no less than 4 demons after you. Those are apples and oranges, baby. I'm lying, because apples commitment. And oranges are still fruit. Those are apples and soccer shoes.
The commitment. Just gotta, sorry. All I'm saying though, right, is I feel like she came to them and was like, he's grown up in a world where he had to be evil. They had something over his head. It's not like he really wanted to do it, because if he really wanted to do it, he could have taken him out multiple times. I feel they might not have been happy, but them girls stick to each other like glue. And if she had came to them and was like, Cole wants to be human, they would have given him, like, not a hall pass, but they would have put him on probation.
Yeah.
Prue wouldn't have been happy about it, but she was like, he got one time to look at me wrong, and I'm freaking saying his ass.
Phoebe, and it goes back to what I said last week, the hardest thing to do for these girls is be accountable to Prue. And that's why Phoebe kept trying to, you just wouldn't understand. Oh, it's fine when you do it, but when I do it, it's a problem.
She's a manipulator, which is why when she got possessed by evil, it was so easy.
It's
already there.
Honestly, Prue's a manipulator too, and I love it because it's my type of manipulation. She came down in that ethereal white, looking all nice, prim, like the if you were looking up good witch in the dictionary, it would be Prue's picture right there. It's being like, yes, Prudence Hallowell, proper witch, good witch.
It was a good juxtaposition between the two. I also like the fact that it doesn't, while the main plot line was resolved, I do like the fact that they didn't tie this one up with a bow, because Phoebe asked, where do we go from here? And Prue's like, I don't know. And then that ends. And I like having that tension where everything wasn't kind of wrapped up in a bow.
Because you can't.
And Piper don't care. She got her man and she got her ring. Whatever. We'll deal with Cole if he come back. Whatever. I stabbed him once.
I see why Shannon was like, I'm getting the fuck out of here. Because it's so male-centered when it's supposed to be sister-centered. And I would have been like, so, my sister, one third of the greatest witch trio ever, is this down bad? Over him? And my other sister is down bad over a man who wants to kill us. Get me off this show immediately. Please. Please. Please, because
Well, that's why. I mean, that's why. What's her face left? Cheryl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, while, and there's no disrespect to Brian Krause. There's no, like, I love him up, love him down. He's a good man,
Savannah. He's a good man, Savannah.
But Leo is not a prize at all. He not a romantic prize. He not even really slinging that D, because as we know, it's Piper who's controlling that D. So what's the truth really? What are we supposed to take from this? And that is we were sending the message to the girls in the 90s and early aughts that the bar is down here and just accept it. I already told you my tweak, but what else will be tweaked to the episode?
I feel like all my tweaks involve violence, so I don't have any tweaks. I feel like the wrestling thing was a gimmick. It kind of goes up there with, what was that, Awakened with the possessed ninja? And so I didn't like that half of it, which is weird because a few years ago, I did like that half of it. So it's interesting how you grow and favorite episodes are no longer favorite episodes. I do like the banter between Leo and Piper. And I feel like when Leo and Piper work, they work. And we just kind of need to get over this initial will they, won't they get married thing because it's kind of annoying. And I just want call back. Let's move on.
Yeah, I honestly
Bring us Cole. Bring us Cole.
we get him next week.
I know. I'm excited.
Yeah, I said my tweak when it was applicable, but I feel if we did it that way, if the episode was done where Leo is hiding from Piper because he doesn't want to lie to her, Piper's searching for the ring. That would have made so much more sense. I don't know why we didn't do it that way. I definitely would have gotten Piper some trash talking coach for the wrestling scene. Like, throw some stuff in there, make that a little bit more funny. Like, let's play into the gimmick, slap the mat a little bit. Just get more physical, more loud, more like, play into the whole WCW of it. Be the Vince McMahon or who else? I don't know. The wrestling people and the things anymore. I'm just thinking about the Vince McMahon walk down the stage.
So, sidebar. Cole, excuse me, Julia McMahon is on an episode with Just Jack and Will. And let's listen to it, and then we can report back on next week's episode.
Sweet. I don't think I have anything else. Me and my boobs want to go lay down in a dark room somewhere. So, how are you rating this episode? What are you rating this episode? What are you giving this episode?
A solid six pile drivers.
Oh, look at you. I'm giving this 4.5 Rasputins.
Rah, Rasputin. Okay.
I'm over Piper being a bridezilla.
We got mad episodes to go, sis. We only halfway through this season. Halfway through, my friend.
I'm tired. I'm weary.
My friend.
Day after day.
Do I need to start reading you Psalms before the episode to rest your weary head?
Just like, again. Because last week it was, I don't know, Leo. It just seems
It's
like they.
always something.
It always seems like they keep coming up with more and more rules so we don't get married. You mean him not telling you about his charges? That's not coming up with a new rule. That's been a rule, you dumb bitch. Then this week, oh, if they don't let us get married, Leo, I'm gonna go up there and give him a piece of my mind. Like, girl.
Struggle love.
It's
Except
not.
he's not a bum, he's a white lighter.
It's not applicable here, but every time I watch an episode of Charm lately, I think about Christina Yang's exit on Grey's Anatomy, where she really sits there and tells Meredith, like, yo, he's dreamy, but he is not the son. You are. And, like, I just want somebody to tell Piper that she is the son. Let her be the son. But
of the seventh son?
Some witches be hoes, but there be.